Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to another episode of Jamming with Jason. Hey, I have Ashley Pitzer back with me again, one of my favorite people and an author. I always love talking to authors. And so if you've regularly listened to the podcast, you probably heard me and Ashley talk before about her first book and kind of the whole process of it coming out. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But I think we're also going to get into a little bit more about the creative process, because regardless of what you're doing, you're creating something. And I think there's always great value in learning how other people create, especially when you're trying to co-create with the universe, which is exactly what Ashley does, which is why I love sharing her message. Okay, So whatever you do, hold on, listen to this entire episode, and then make sure and share it with your friends and family. So with that, let's roll that episode with Ashley. You are jamming with Jason Mefford, where you hear inspiring interviews with some amazing people. Some are famous, some may seem ordinary, and they are all doing extraordinary things to positively change the world. Sometimes it's just you and me having an intimate and authentic conversation about how you can change the world around you and rewrite the story of your life by being more authentic, accepting and loving yourself more, and spreading love to others. Since really, all you need is love. And what the world needs now is love, sweet love. We discuss all aspects of self-improvement, growth, and so much more. Great content, insightful advice that's practical and helpful to anyone that listens. You're always eager to come back for more and share with your friends and family, since you learn something in every episode. So sit back and enjoy the easy listening while you feel seen and heard in this informative, authentic, and entertaining podcast. Now, let's roll that beautiful podcast footage. Hey, Ashley. Yeah. I know we got jazz hands going on.
That's right. Chicago.
I feel like I'm in Chicago or cabaret, right? Let's see here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm so happy to be here and I'm really appreciative of you. I mean, there's times when I sit in my meditation and I go through one of the mantras or affirmations or whatever you would like to call it, because everybody's different, is that I would like to have quality relationships in my life. And so when I sit in my meditation, I think about quality relationships in that I have in my life, my definition of it, you know, because everybody's going to have different. Yep. And so you're one of the people that pops up into my mind all the time. And so I send my positive, loving energy towards you. And
well, thank you. And I can feel that coming from you, and I hope you feel that coming back from me as well. And that's actually, I mean, we weren't going to talk about this, but that's maybe even a great practice or exercise, you know, for people to be able to do that kind of sitting in gratitude, you know, because you're tuning your body to feel that gratitude, but more so even just like what you're doing, of when you feel grateful for someone or something, actually kind of, you know, sending out that gratitude into the world. It's such a little thing and it's so simple, but it's so powerful. And so I'm glad to know that you actually do that. That's one of the things that I do as well. So there we go, everybody. Before we even get into the interview, there's a little takeaway for you, right?
All right. We all have soul family. And for me, you're one of those. You're one of my family. So Well, I said, wow. And just so people, because I know you have your other podcasts, and this isn't the Spiritual Path podcast, but I will put a plug for it. Thank you. I'll put a plug in there for it, because I mean, what you're doing, I definitely support, and I want everybody to evolve and grow to whatever is open for them. And yep. So, anyway, just so you know, like anybody listening, when I am sitting down, not only am I quiet, but I'm visualizing Jason in my mind, I'm feeling what I'm feeling. And then I'm also allowing that energy to like project out of my chest to space, knowing and trusting and having faith that it is going towards him. And so that's my practice. I'm sharing it with everyone here. So in case they wanted to sit down, I will tell you that I am maybe more practiced than a beginner, because I've been doing yoga for a long time. So sitting quietly for me, mm-hmm. it's very soothing. And, you know, being a yoga instructor, there are often times when we would get to the very end of practice, Shavasana, when you're laying down and you're being still and you're alone with your thoughts. That was the time you would see people that were uncomfortable sitting in a silence with themselves, jump up to their feet, get their shoes on and come out the door.
Out of there.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be one of the best parts of the whole experience, right?
It is such the best part for me. And if I could, I would make it last 15, 30 minutes. But, you know, when you're on a schedule for teaching classes, you can't just linger forever. But my last class of, you know, the day for lunch or the last class of the night, we would stay like at least 15 minutes. And the people that enjoyed it would be there with me. Like they didn't want to leave the space. And that's how I feel a lot of times when I'm in meditation. I just sit and I immediately get into that quiet space, the place where there's no mind chatter, and I can start sending out my intentional focus of gratitude and things like that. So,
yeah. Well, no, and thank you for sharing that, because again, it's, you know, it's one of those things that I'm trying to help people understand more, because I think so much of the time too, when people use the word spirituality, they think it's like, you got to be a monk and you got to be like meditating for 4 hours and you got to give away everything that you have. And it's like, there's these simple little practices of connecting and of raising our frequency, raising our emotional state. That's what it's really more about. And so every time that you sit and do that practice, you're quiet, the monkey mind is gone, you're mm-hmm. thinking about the people, the things that you're grateful for, you're feeling that gratitude, and then you're sending it out in the world. And that's what people, I think, don't realize. A lot of people, you know, bitch and complain about how bad this world is and how dark it is and how evil is out there. But it's like, well, you can complain about it, or you can do some things to send the light and offset some of the things that are out there. So, you know, again, you're my soul family, too. I think of you the same way. And I love people that spend some time and have an intention like that, that they're actually sending out there, because you may not realize how big of an impact that small little simple thing that you do every day actually does to help this world. So I hope you feel that, and love back to you for doing that, because when people like you are doing that, I can feel it and I feel the support, because we all are connected. So there we go. There's a rabbit hole we weren't planning to go down. Welcome to Jamming with Jason, right?
Well, let me tie it into the book, because meditation is definitely part of my process for writing. I actually have one social media post out there. Maybe I should repost it. That's what people do. They repost so they can save themselves time, but I keep creating new stuff, so I don't reuse my stuff ever. Life lessons, people. So one of my posts out there is me like sleeping. You can see the drool coming out of my mouth. I'm laying on my pillow, and it's a very short clip, but it's got a sound in the background, maybe an AI voice. I don't even know, but the sound that plays with it is, "Leave me alone. I'm doing author shit."
No, well, and for those of us that are authors or who have written books or are kind of in that creative artistic space, I remember because when you were saying that, you know, a lot of times people might look at you sitting there sleeping and drooling and think, well, what are you doing, Ashley? And I remember an author that I met many years ago. That's what she said. She'd gotten divorced and she's like, if I ever get married again or if I ever have another partner, it's got to be somebody who actually understands that process and realizing that I'm sitting there and it looks like I'm doing nothing. I'm actually doing a lot of author shit. Right. And so, you know, just the physical movement or the actions and the doing that we might be physically doing is only a very small part of kind of that creative process. And so I know I wanted to kind of get in and talk a little bit about that because I think it's always helpful for people to understand more about the creative process. And again, for people that are listening, don't think this only applies to, you know, people that are painting pictures or writing books, because we're all creators, right? We all create something. Right now we're creating a podcast together, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so that is still art. But even doing a budget, if you're an accountant, that's creation of something too, right? And so it's always interesting to kind of hear how other people use the creative process. I just finished reading Rick Rubin's book. He's a world-renowned music producer, right? Okay. Of talking about kind of how he goes through the process. But I wanted to spend some time kind of talking to you a little bit about that too, because I know at least for the first book, and I know you've just finished, you know, your first draft or almost done. With the second book. And I know you've kind of got a different creative process because, you know, we can create or we can co-create, right? And I see you as somebody who co-creates. And what that means is you're actually allowing the universe to channel through you and you're co-creating something with the help of the universe, right? So it's not just you. And so maybe kind of explain a little bit, you know, how that process actually works for you. Because like I said, I think it's pretty amazing. And you're a great example of somebody who has done that with your first book, now with your second book, you know, and you're going to keep doing that because that's who you are. But how does that look for people to kind of explain that to people?
I think where I want to start off with is that I feel like I have three primary sources for ideas, inspiration, awareness. And so, and that ties back into the very beginning, right? I sit in quiet time and meditation. There are times when, whether I write it down in my journal before I sit down to just be quiet, or I sit down and as soon as I'm quiet, I call to my spirit guides and I ask them what I need help with, because there are several times in the book, as I am writing this, this is coming to me. I do not have an outline. I know that those who have gone to school and those who have had formal training, they are taught to outline everything, to have their characters all pointed out. These people in my book, they come to me, their tics, their flaws, they come to me just like a stranger was going to come up to me and shake my hand and introduce me. They come to me in my mind and my imagination. Nothing is planned out for me. And so when I go into my meditation, I'm faced with all sorts of dilemmas with my book. I mean, when I go, my second source would be right before I go to sleep. I write down what I need help with. There are several times when I'm like, one of my characters' names is Crystal. And I'm like, okay, Crystal is in the scene right now. What is she going to say? How is she going to feel? What is she doing with her body? Show me the movements. Show me what's going on, because I can't see it. And I write it down. And so whether it is meditation, or it is going to sleep, or my third source is often going for a walk in nature. Mm-hmm. Those are my three points. And I just put it out to the universe. This is what I need help with. I don't understand. Help me. I mean, it's very simple. I ask very specific questions of what I need. And so, you know, whatever happens, because sometimes I don't have a perfect, this is what happens 99% of the time. No, everything works out the way it works out. And I don't have an expectation of it because it's so varied. So sometimes like while I'm walking or I'm meditating, maybe I'll get an answer right then. An idea will pop into my mind. That's fabulous when it happens.
Sometimes, I know it's like a, ooh, yeah.
Yeah. And then sometimes for me, a different scene will pop up and I'm like, oh man, now how do I get to this place? You know, like, so sometimes a different scene will come. Other times something in my external world, not even relating to what I ask for, pops up to me and it festers in my mind. And then I have to have attention to it because it's festering. And then I notice that as I work through whatever's going in my personal life, then I'm like, oh, and then there's things that happen outside of it. Maybe nothing comes. Maybe it's just quiet. Maybe I'm annoyed at the trucks going by while I'm meditating or, you know, walking, you know, and nothing happens. And then later on that night, like, I'll be watching TV and something will pop up, or, you know, I will run across something on social media and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, like, or you run into a person and you start talking to them and like, bam, an idea comes. So it is about being open for me all the time. And I know you may be thinking, oh, well, authors use everything in their environment. That's what you're trained to do. But it doesn't matter if I'm doing this for writing or I'm doing this to solve other problems in my life. Like we're searching for a car right now for our soon to be 16-year-old. I'm doing the same steps. I need a car. I have this wish list of what it contains and I'm putting it out into the universe and I'm asking. And it follows the same type of patterns. I just don't know which pattern it's going to fall into. So.
Well, and I think that it's a great way for people to understand and that you make that crossover too, right? Because like I said at the beginning, the steps and the things that you're going through is not just how you create a piece of art. It's how you create your whole life, right? And so some of the things that I hear you talking about too, you know, is asking some of these questions, being specific about the questions, right? Yes. And what's interesting is, you know, so much of the time, I mean, our ego likes to get in the way. And it's like, I got to figure out all the steps. I got to know exactly A, B, C, D, right? But a lot of times there's nothing to understand. There's just ask the question and wait for the response. And like you said, sometimes the response comes quick, which is great. And the ego loves that because it's like, yeah, I don't have to wait. Mm-hmm. And other times it's like you ask the question and then shit goes in your life and you have some discussion or something. But then as you're reflecting on that, something comes through, right? Yeah. Or you go out and you walk in nature and you see something that maybe is a little different or that catches your eye. And as you place attention on that, all of a sudden it ends up coming, right?
Yeah.
But I think too, like what you said is, and I find myself doing the same thing, right? You might be meditating and you hear the planes or you hear the trucks, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we live close to an airport and every so often they do work on the main runway. And when they do work on the main runway, they change the flight path right over our house. Mm. So here you have these large jets coming in at about 5,000 feet and they shake the house, right? Mm-hmm. And so I've had to practice, right, instead of being pissed off about it, mm-hmm. of saying to myself, I am so grateful that I can hear, that I can hear that plane, right? Yeah. And again, it's that keeps me in a different space and frequency to where, you know, again, the plane usually has to go by before something comes in, but it keeps me at that higher level instead of, you know, being pissed off and lowering my frequency down to where I don't want to be. Because then just like when the monkey chatter comes in, it's hard to receive. right? You can only hear when it's quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I will tell you, and this is a little bit outside of the process, but ultimately part of the process. So when I sat down to write, and we talked a little bit about this prior to, so I can go down the rabbit hole of talking about this book versus the first book. But when I sit down to write, there are times when nothing is flowing to me and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting and I'm asking all these questions, just listening essentially. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done. Like I get to this point, I get to this point where I feel the struggle and I'm like, I'm done. This isn't working. I'm going to switch to another task. And whether I switch to another task or I get up and I get some water, often as soon as I give up, it comes. Yeah. And it's funny because I know this, and I will still sit in my seat and try to push and try to force and try to struggle. And it's until I'm become aware of how much I'm struggling, until I get to that point, I will sit there and allow it to happen. Even though I know, and I have lots of evidence, as soon as I walk away, as soon as I let go of it, something comes to me. If not the answer, something else comes to me that helps me nudge me in that direction. And so, there's a lot of times I'm getting faster at it. Like I can feel the struggle and I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go get a drink. I'm just going to go stare outside my back window and do nothing for a couple of minutes. Like, letting go.
Because I'm doing author shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, no, and I think it's a great, it's a great learning for people, right? Because again, there's no reason to sit there in the struggle, because the more that you sit in the struggle, the harder it is. And oh, so again, I mean, there's a thing called a hemispheral shift, right? Where again, I mean, you move your body, like my leg's crossed right now. Hemispheral shift might be, I take my leg down, I put the other leg over, boom. I've done something to move my body, and that ends up kind of making a shift in me energetically. And so sometimes then you can actually receive. And so getting up and going and getting a drink of water or going outside for a walk or doing any of these things is a way to kind of clear it. But I think also one of the ways that you were kind of describing it is going from kind of struggle to surrendering, mm-hmm. right? That's- and there's a very different frequency with feeling struggle versus feeling surrender.
Yeah. You know,
the surrender allows, again, for that to come up, because you can think about it, it's like the struggle is just kind of causing all this friction in front of you. And so whatever can't get through until you just release it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think what's interesting too is, because I do want to talk about, because I know we talked about before we hit record a little bit about your process writing the second book versus the first book, because I think there's also like this delicate balance, right? Between, there's some people who, when they create, they're like, well, I'm only going to create when the spirit moves me and when I feel inspired, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so it takes them 10 years to write a book,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Because they just never feel motivated enough. They never feel whatever, right? And so all of a sudden, you know, days become weeks and weeks become months and months become years, right? Where Hemingway, right, one of the things that I loved him saying is he's like, you know what? All these people that say, you know, they're waiting for the muse to show up is kind of bullshit. He's like, the muse always shows up for me every day at 9 a.m. And how do I know that? Because 9 a.m. is when I put my butt in the chair and I start writing, right? Now, again, I mean, I'm sure he sits himself down and things didn't just automatically flow at that point. But if we don't have some structure to it or some expectation, then things don't come to us, right? We have to do part of the work as well. And so I thought it was interesting because I know when we talked about the first book, it pretty much just flowed right through you.
It did.
And then the second book, right? tell us kind of how the process that you tried to go through with the second book, because I think there's a lot of learnings for people here too on kind of how you did that, how it was different than the first book, and kind of what you learned, what worked, what didn't work.
So in the first book, my strategy was I was just going to write for 2 hours a day. Well, 5 days a week, whatever my work days looked like. I was going to write for 2 hours. Whatever came to me, came to me. If I sat there for 2 hours and nothing came to me, I still was there showing up for it, you know, and I was fine with it. And I let it take the amount of time that it took. It was a very peaceful and easy practice. I enjoyed writing that way a lot because there was no external pressure on me. But one of the things that I had learned with the first book, one of the lessons I took away was when I got done writing my book, I was done April or May. And then I started looking for an editor, and the process ended up taking several months. So obviously a year, an entire year went by between me releasing my second, my first book. Because it was done in April. It took a year with editors and things like that before I was able to release The Birth Challenge. And some of that was that I had 2 editors. I had to wait for them to be available. And so I thought, I'm not going to do this to myself. I know that I'm very a consistent person. So my second strategy was I am going to get a editor pre-booked for book 2. In advance, so that when I'm done writing, I'll have a little bit of a buffer. I can set back, I can read it, I can send it to a beta reader, and then I can send this to the editor. And they'll be pre-booked, and it's going to line up perfectly for when I want to release book 2. And I'm not going to set for an entire year. And so I pre-booked, trusting and knowing that I am a very consistent person. I have complete faith in myself. Okay. I'm very, what do you call it? Internal referenced. Okay. Yep. So I based book 2 that I would have similar word count and that I would have similar time frame. And I, you know, gave myself a buffer, booked the date. Well, in book 2, a lot of things came up that were unexpected. And so things that happened with my kids, things that happened with my other job, and I took on moderating for, you know, another coaching program. So there was all of these things and my time got dwindled away. And at one point I realized I can't stick to this, just write 2 hours a day. It's not going to get done. And so in that point, I realized I had to write 2,000 words a day for a period of like 3.5 months, 4 months in order to make this deadline. And I didn't like that fact that that pressure was there, but I know that this is what most authors do. They set a word count. Yep. And so it's like, I'm just going to do this. And so there were ups and downs to this because I get into a writing flow and getting 2,000 words are really easy. And then there were times like when we had spring break for the kids and they were home, I didn't factor that time in. And then I got off track when I started writing again and I was only getting a minimal amount of words. And if I had major things come up in my, you know, day job, then that was pulling away from my time. And so there was a lot more pressure for me to perform to meet this hard deadline. And I will tell you, I had a number of conversations in coaching with this, like even coaching myself, like, okay, you know what? The worst case scenario is I lose a couple of $1,000s and I, you know, like, so there's talks that I still had to do of surrender. Like, I'm not going to keep doing this to myself. But ultimately, there would be days when I would write like 4,000 or 5,000 words, no problem, because it just came to me so easy. And then there would be days when I was sitting there and like, I've got 200 words, nothing is coming. I'm sitting here for 6 hours and that's it. That's all I got to show, but I can't force it. All I can do is sit and wait. And so book 2, I mean, I just finished my final climax scene. And I was telling Jason before this started that I talked to my mom this morning. I did not know. I let this stuff come to me. So I did not know this morning that I would be finishing my climax scene today. Like, Mm-hmm. It just comes to me. I just accept it. So I had a phone call with my mom this morning. I was telling her about Jason's interview. She was even like, oh, can I listen in?
Well, you can afterwards, Mom, and we help you. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're having this great conversation. And I was like, Mom, I don't understand, because where the book is leading me right now. I'm like, I've got enough stuff to write 10 chapters off of this one scene. How am I going to wrap this book up? I'm like, I've got a deadline. I have to turn this over to my editor really soon. How am I going to finish this up and get this somewhat near the ballpark of what I quoted? Because now I'm, you know, really close to the amount of words that I had quoted. And she's just like, well, there's going to be a book three, no big deal. And I'm like, I always knew there was going to be a book three. But in my mind, I thought book two was going to end at this scene, and it's definitely not happening. And so, right, I have this conversation with her. I sit down today writing, knowing that for the last week and a half, I've only been able to produce 1,000 words. So I'm expecting 1,000 words. I spit out a ton of words today. No problem. Super easy. It's flowing out of me. And then I look down and I realize I'm done. This is it. Hmm. The scene is over. I'm aligned without me realizing it. I am aligned perfectly for book three. Yep. I have all of the problems mounted and ready and signed, sealed, and delivered for book three. And all I have to do is a wrap up chapter. And I was so excited. I did a social media post immediately so people can see my energy, crazy, happy energy, because I don't know this. Like, it is completely a trusting process.
Well, and I think it's interesting because like you said, it's, you know, it's good to set ourselves deadlines. I mean, mm-hmm. it is, but like you said, you can't force it Mm-mm. as well. And so I think this is where, especially if, you know, everybody listening, if you're trying to co-create, you got to realize that the universe is in this too, right? And so because of that, things will unfold exactly how they are supposed to unfold. Not before, not after, but exactly as it is supposed to unfold. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, again, I'm guessing, because I've done this myself, right? Some of those days when you're like, you only got 200 words out, uh-huh. right? There's the ego part of us that's like, Jason, you piece of shit. How come you only did 200 words? You committed to doing 2,000 a day. You know, you're not a real writer, right? I mean, all that little monkey chatter wants to start to come into us. And a lot of people give into it. And when they do, it takes them off the rails. Right. Instead of having the grace and realizing, hey, you know what? I only did 200 words today, but there's days when you can write 10,000 words. Right. I mean, you can just go and all of a sudden 10,000 words pop out. Right. Yeah. And so I think that's too where, you know, this is true in artistic things, but in life in general, the more you try to align your life with the universe, the more flexible you've got to be. As well, right? Because, you know, I've kind of rearranged a lot of my life because honestly, I don't know how I'm going to feel certain days. I mean, there's days when I get kicked on my ass, right? Physically in how I feel from some of the energies. And so I know that, and I have to, you know, work my schedule around in such a way that yes, when I need to be here, I show up and I use my will to show up and be here. But I also leave some flexibility. So those days when I really feel that inspiration, I really feel that motivation, I really feel stuff coming through me, that I go as much as I can. And what's interesting when that happens, you can get 5 hours of work done in an hour sometimes.
Yeah.
It's and amazing. You're sitting there looking at it and you're like, how did that just happen? I thought I was sitting here for 5 hours and it's only been 1 hour.
Yeah.
But that's how the universe works.
And I completely agree. And I so when you were talking about the chatter that comes up, for me, I'm a calculated person. So I'm really good with self-talk and supporting myself. What I have to watch for anybody that's out there that may be different, what I have to watch is the pressure I put on myself. So when I have a 200 word day, then it is the amount of judgment and pressure I put on because my brain is recalculating immediately. Well, that means that I have to do this. That means I have to shift this here. And all of a sudden I am making a small itty bitty thing huge because I'm putting so much pressure on there. So that's something I have to coach myself on and watch. And to just follow up on what you were saying, we had a double solar eclipse, right?
Last week. Hello.
Yeah. And, you know, there were several days where I'm like, I just can't do it. I can't do it. I have to sleep. But I'm to a point, at least with that, you know, judgment is layers, right? So I can let go of the judgment of I have to sleep because I know it's a need. And I believe in self-care and self-love. I know it. And so I know also that I am creating even as I sleep. So I have no judgment to that. But I mean, did I sleep a ton the last 2 weeks? Absolutely. I even questioned if it was the new moon or the fact that I bought a new mattress and maybe this mattress was hit and I wasn't sleeping.
You were soaking down in there. You just couldn't get yourself out.
Yeah. I was like, do I take this mattress back or is it the new moon? I was like, why did I do this? Like, why did I, because I couldn't distinguish which one it was. But I take a lot of sleep, but I do personally have to watch because you don't create easily and out of love and out of the vibrantness of your soul of an expression when you're putting pressure and judgment on yourself. Whatever comes out, you might as well burn it.
Well, and what's interesting, because like you said, I mean, and that's especially for those of us that have a task-oriented kind of mindset, right? We're good at kind of controlling ourselves. We're internally focused. And so, you know, we don't need a lot of outside pressure. We're self-motivated to get this stuff done. But like you said, there's that first kind of knee-jerk reaction of, oh man, I only did 200 words today. I was supposed to do 2,000. That means tomorrow I've got to do 3,800. And then maybe tomorrow you only do 1,000. It's like, man, I'm up to 4,800, right? And so you're kind of going through this whole thing. But what's interesting too is that it's always, you always meet your deadline and it's always perfect exactly how it is when you surrender and trust. Because, you know, again, logically, 3D monkey mind, we come up with all these reasons why it can't work. Mm-hmm. But, you know, today was a perfect example of you, of another form of evidence that, hey, this morning when you talked to your mom, you had no idea.
Yeah.
But somehow it just came out and was done today.
Yeah.
You didn't wake up this morning realizing that. Mm-mm. Right? And you'd gotten behind in word counts and other stuff like that. But today, it just came out and it was finished.
Yeah. It floors me. And it's such a wonder, but I absolutely love it. Mm-hmm.
Well, it is. It's a fun ride. Right? When we think about it that way. And actually, we were kind of joking before we hit record too, that we need to have fun in everything that we're doing too, right? Mm-hmm. So again, it's like, if you're putting a bunch of pressure on yourself, do you think you're still having fun with it? Mm-hmm. The answer is probably no, right?
Yeah.
And we create the best art. We have the highest vibrating frequency of emotions when we're having fun, mm-hmm. right? So why not make it a game and play with it and see the wonders and the marvel of allowing the universe to do what it needs to do. Because I am still amazed when stuff like what happened to you today, when it happens.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think too, it's not just me. It's not just me as the creator, right? Because my book one is out. It's for sale. There's my plug.
Go Earth Challenge, go buy it. You can get it anywhere. We'll put in the show notes, right?
Yeah. But so it is out and people are posting like reviews or maybe reaching out to me. And so I might have my own vision of how this book is going to be perceived. But then you see other people coming back to you and feedback. And when I constantly, like, I'm so thrilled with myself and how I've co-created, you know, this. And I'm really grateful that it came to me. And I just think that this is the best book ever, right? Biased, but also I'm very appreciative. But then you see other people read the book. And so then it becomes something more than just your perception. And people are constantly mentioning how intriguing my plot line is. Like, you know, that this was an unusual story, nothing like this, everything. And like, I've really actually struggled with this from a marketing perspective, because when you market a book, at least in fantasy, you talk a lot about what types of things people can expect in the book. So they know, and we call these tropes, so they know whether or not this lines up with their kind of their kinks. You know, so like if you all love romance books, let's talk about romance. You may like a dark gray character. So does this, the trope, draw a gray character, a morally gray character? Is that a trope? Or do you like grumpy to sunshine? Or, you know, so there's all these tropes that exist, and you categorize it so people know whether or not they want your book. Every one of my tropes has a twist to it. So I can't just say it's grumpy to sunshine. I'm like, it's grumpy to less grumpier. You know, like, I'm like, so there's forced proximity in there, but it's not really forced proximity. It's arranged marriage, but it's not really an arranged marriage. So I can't, like, it's not your classic on any of these tropes. And I didn't set out to do this. Yep. I did not set out with any intention of what I was creating, other than that I was going to be open, and I knew I needed to write this, and I knew that this was going to help people. I knew it was going to help them, because when I was writing, even like when I draw my medicine cards, I keep getting these medicine cards that have the same message, that I am a teacher. You know, that I am here to help people like raise their frequency. This is how I speak it, but I'm here to help people really step into their power and to heal. Right. And so this book is a lot of that, even though I just became a coach after I wrote this book in that year that I had when I was waiting for it to get edited. Right. I went and became a coach, but I already foresaw the things that people were hurting and the things that people were struggling with. And so as I was writing, these things were coming to me, these things that people face in their daily life, I have in there in a fantasy world that allows you to see how I would coach somebody through something, through one of the characters. So even my editor, when she got done reading my book, and she said to me, I really like how no matter what, there's a lot of point of views in my book. So it's not just a simple one protagonist or dual protagonist. You do have two dual protagonists, but you're getting like six characters' point of views. So the editor was basically saying, no matter what the character that you were following was facing, somebody's point of view came in and coached the person and helped them along. I'm like, you're so perceptive. But even so, like last night when I was going through my social media on Instagram, somebody had posted that they read this book, and they had never read a fantasy book that had such a depth and complex characters, and that really taught people about self-discovery and about connections to people and love, and that they were having a book hangover and they needed another book like this. And somebody posted, check out Ashley Pitzer's book, The Birth Challenge. Like, it's like that. Huh. You know, and so even though this book, I can't say that these tropes exist, the evidence is there that this book is there to help you. And one of my intentions for book two, when I sat down, every single time I sat down, I always give what I consider my intention, my blessing, so that I'm always in that frame of mind and I'm coming from that place of energy. A lot of book two, I wanted people to know themselves better and to understand love better. So the book two is a lot about this. Mm-hmm. Even though you're wrapped up into a story about entertainment and adventure and conflict and obstacles and challenges. Through it all, there's this very low humming, this is how you love. This is how you show up for yourself. This is what you need.
Well, and I think it's great because, you know, same thing, whether it's books or whether it's movies, most of the books and movies usually have to kind of conform to what the industry believes is going to be commercially successful.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, there's certain tropes, there's certain things that are kind of built into it, slightly different characters, but the same kind of storyline. At the end of the day, right? So a lot of people, you know, you can sit there and I kind of call it like bubblegum commercial movies, right? Where it's like, it's pretty predictable, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can tell exactly what's going to happen. Let's take like a rom-com, right? You know, and there's the ups and the downs, and every few minutes there has to be some conflict, and you get towards the end of the movie and there's maybe 15 minutes left and you think, oh, they're going to be in love and everything is going to be great. And then they have to have some big breakup kind of scene right at the end. So then you can climax at the end again with them coming back together. It's just kind of a classic thing, right? And formula. And a lot of books do the same thing. They use a specific formula. But I'm one, and obviously from the social media that you're getting too, who likes some of the difference, right? Who likes the art house kind of movies or books that don't necessarily follow that same formula. And I think, you know, with your intention and what you're trying to do is you're not just trying to entertain people with the book, but you're trying to help them know themselves better. Yes. To learn how to love better. And in order to do that, a lot of times, because you know from being a coach too, sometimes you have to shake people a little bit or do what is unexpected with those people in order to get them out of the hypnotic trance that they're normally in. And so, you know, the fact that that was your intention and that's what kind of came through from the universe, I think is fabulous, because like you said, it's not, you know, especially in a spiritual path or as we're evolving, that usually doesn't follow a formula either, because each one of us is different.
Yeah.
And each one of us needs to be shaken up in certain ways and in different ways, right? I mean, again, as I've kind of gone through this path with a mentor and seeing how he interacts with the different people that I know who he's all working with, it's just amazing how customized it is to help each one of us get to where we need to be. And so having like those multiple perspectives in the book, instead of just one or two, like most books do, it also makes it so much more relevant and applicable to everybody, because I'm sure everybody who reads the book, because there's so many character views, can relate to at least one, if not two or three of those characters as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's a weird thing, because I didn't necessarily write this book to make money. You know, like I really wanted this book. One, it was a dream. So that right there alone is worth it to me. Like, for instance, one of my crazy bucket list dreams, I have no idea why I wanted to do an Iron Man. I'm not going to get paid to do an Iron Man, but it's something that I really wanted to do. Yep. And it energetically mattered to me. That's all I can say. Energetically, it meant something to me. And then that's a lot of like how writing this book is for me. Energetically, I knew I needed to do this. I just, even in my core of my being, I might have the doorbell ring because FedEx is dropping off a package, but in the core of my being, like, I feel like this book is a legacy. And it's like, it's not that I'm sitting here and saying, well, I can die now because I've done this. Like,
but, no, please don't. I want you around for a long time.
No, No, but I feel that I've done something that means so much to the world, even though the world hasn't realized it yet. That's just how I feel on the inside. Like I can't explain it. I just know with so much energy. You sense energy. You probably feel it. I just know so much that it was super important for me to write this and share this with the world.
Yeah, and the thing is, as the creator, you will never know the full impact. But the fact that you did it and you put it out to the world, it's going to touch hundreds, thousands, millions of people in probably even ways that you never could have imagined, right?
Yeah,
But the
probably.
fact that you co-created it meant that it was written for all of these different people and will be a legacy for people. I mean, think about all the books that you and I have read that were written sometimes hundreds of years ago, right? And it's still a legacy, or thousands of years ago, right? I mean, I'm reading the Tao Te Ching now from Lao
Oh,
Tzu. That
wow.
was like 4,000 years ago, and it's still there for people to be able to consume and to be able to get benefit from, and your book is going to be the same way for people.
And I don't even know it. I wrote book, and I think there's a difference between book one and book two, because book one seems so vital. Book two just seemed to carry the weight of book one. You know, like, does that make sense? I don't know. But anyway, I know that there's going to be a book three, but I have at this point, I can't tell you what book three is going to be about. Like, I can't tell you if it's going to be about the underlining of love, or if it's going to be about empowerment, or if it's going to be about surrender. But I know something's going to come to me, and it will be important when I write it.
Yeah. Well, because even I know when we talked on one of the previous podcasts kind of about the whole thing, I mean, you were writing chapter three, you had no idea that it would tie together in chapter 10. I mean, you had no idea. You were writing some of the stuff, and it's like, I don't even know why I'm writing this, but it's coming through. So, and then when you were writing chapter 10, you're like, oh, okay, well, now I understand why that got put in there, right? And that's just the way the process will work, and that it will unfold. And I'm sure, again, maybe each of the books will resonate with different people in different ways. It might cumulatively affect and help people too, but again, each person is going to interact with your books differently as well and get different things out of it at different times too, because I think that's another thing that I found a lot is when we co-create with the universe, there's codings sometimes that go into the works. And so you might read a book five times, but you read it the sixth time, and there's something different that you got out of it that sixth time. And you would think, well, I've already read it five times. I already know the book. I've already memorized it. Yeah, but when you look at it again with fresh eyes and with the circumstances that you're in at that point, often you see it in a completely different way.
I think that was one of the messages I got early on. So I guess I've held on to that message, knowing and trusting that. But yeah, I'm still looking for the evidence. There's a lot of things that we could go into, even from here in this discussion point. But I will say book two is much the same. In fact, I found myself arguing a little bit more with spirit and what was coming to me.
Oh, really?
I'd be like, yeah, I found myself being like, well, like, okay, there's a scene with a less of a dominant character, one of the side characters, and something has happened to her. And I'm like, well, that can't be. I'm like, that can't be. How does this work out? No, you already gave me the image of this down the line. So how do we jump from here to here over here? It doesn't make any sense to me. And like I find myself arguing. And I finished book two today, and I'm like, but wait a minute, spirit, you left me with something going on with this side character. that hasn't been wrapped up and hasn't been touched about. And like one of the things that came to me was tell the reader that you haven't forgotten that this will play out in book three. And I was like, well, shit, I guess I'm writing a letter to the reader that the book.
Epilogue. For those of you that were disappointed and don't know what happened to character X, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a weird thing because it's like having a relationship. So you get this little pushback sometimes, but there's so much trust and openness too. So.
No, good stuff. And like I said, all of a sudden, poof, an hour has gone by, right? So it's like, I know I'd love to keep talking, but I know you probably got to get back to write the rest of the book too. But hey, I really appreciate you coming on and really sharing the process, because I think that's important for people and for you to be open and kind of express how you've gone through it. You know, and it's like, just like here at the end, you know, you're like, I was arguing with spirit, right? And I know sometimes, I mean, there's a joke that some of the people that I know, you know, where it's like something will happen out of the ordinary and it's like, fuck no, but okay, you know, kind of a thing. Yeah. Like, what? Okay, I'll do it, right? Sort of a thing that a lot of times it's not what we were anticipating. But it's what's coming through, and it's what needs to be done. It's what needs to be said. It's what we need to let go of, right? And we had no idea or no inkling before that situation, but we can sit and argue about it, and we can go back into our ego, or we can just surrender and move forward, you know, with it, even when it's not at all what we thought it was going to be.
Exactly. And I'll say this before we go, just because this comes up a lot. It's, if you're a writer out there, people always ask, well, what do you do with writer's block, right? So let's say a 200 day word day is a writer's block day for me. I don't ever consider myself having writer's block, even on the day when I have like 200. But I will say one thing that came up to me just as you were starting to wrap up was that there was a day when I actually did feel stuck, not just like nothing's coming to me. It was like, I feel stuck. I don't know what to do. And so of course I gave up, I walked away, started cooking. And when I was cooking dinner, one of the things that popped up to my mind, like a question that popped up to my mind was, what are you afraid of writing? And so as I was cooking, I was thinking about what I was afraid to write. And I was like, that's why I can't. Right. It's because there was something that I was scared of, how people would read this, how they would judge it, and how they would view it. And so I turned it to, if I didn't give a crap about what anybody said about this, what would I want to write? What would be my heart's desire to write? And bam, did it flood through to me. And I ran to my computer and wrote the scene. So I don't necessarily, there's very few times when I feel like I actually have true, what other people are experiencing as like writer's block. But I do have the benefit of asking questions and listening.
Well, and you do a great job of that. And I think, again, I mean, for everybody listening, right? I mean, one of the things that a lot of people say is the quality of your life depends on the quality of the questions you ask. Mm-hmm. And it's not just questions you're asking other people, it's questions you're asking yourself. Right. Just like what Ashley has kind of explained today on the podcast, right, is the better we can get at asking ourselves questions, the better we can get the answers. Right. Because, again, you ask a stupid question, you might not get an answer. You ask the right question, you're going to get the right answer. But I think, as you were talking about writer's block and what am I afraid to write about? I think that shows up in so many different ways in all of our lives, right? What are you really afraid to say? What are you really afraid to do, right? What are you afraid to let go of? And a lot of times we'll hold on to those things and we won't do it. But the time that we finally surrender and just say, fuck it, I don't care,
yeah.
Right? that's when the stuff can flow. That's when we're authentic. That's when the power really comes through in everything that we're doing, right? Because at the end of the day, I know we all, and I'm speaking to myself here, right? Because I've had a few experiences this week, right? To kick me in the ass about some of these lessons too, of, you know, everything will always work out exactly as it needs to. No matter how much we try to fuck it up, no matter how much we try to overthink it, you know, we just delay it, but everything always works out exactly the way it is supposed to work out. Everything always has been, is now, and will be okay, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day. And, you know, if you write something that somebody doesn't like, if you say something that somebody doesn't like, if you do something that somebody doesn't like, it doesn't really matter, right? Because there's going to be a lot more people that really love what you just said, love what you just did, than the people who are going to complain about it. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you just have to be aligned and authentic in what you're doing, because you're the one that has to look yourself in the mirror.
Yeah.
Right? You're the only one that really matters. And so, like you said, even though you were afraid to write that, when you wrote it, how did you feel?
I mean, I can't even remember the scene. That's how peaceful I feel about it. I just remember that was an experience that came up, but I couldn't tell you what I wrote and what I was scared to write. I just let it flow and I feel good about it. Whatever it is, I don't question it.
And it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Always great to talk to you, as always. So the birth challenge is out. We'll make sure and put links in the show notes as well. And again, people don't think the title is about having babies and, you know, that you have to be a mom to read it. No, that's not what it's about. But you buy the book and you read it and you'll find out what it's about. How about that?
Yeah.
but that's available now. And like I said, we'll make sure and put stuff in the show notes for you on there. Book two will be out in a little bit, because as we just heard, it's almost done. And Ashley, thank you for coming on. Any last thing that you want to leave with people before we have to sign off for today?
Well, I guess I would like to tell them my expectation is for book two to come out closer to Christmas.
Mm.
Oh, I know. But you'll it's a saga. So it helps to read book one, because there's less explanation in book two to carry you
over into it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a standalone. It's a continued story. That's what makes a saga. So mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm very grateful to be here and to share with your audience what I'm experiencing, and read my book and let me know how much you loved it. But you can definitely reach out to me with whatever you want to share.
Yeah. Well, and I appreciate you for coming on. And like we said, I think a couple times in here, I see you as a soul family person. So mm-hmm. I'm always grateful and blessed whenever I can spend time with people like you. So it makes me feel good. And I appreciate you. So I appreciate everybody who listened as well. And we got to sign off for now, but I'm sure Ashley's going to have to come back, because I'm going to keep asking her to keep coming back.
I'll come on to your spiritual one too. We'll just have a heyday.
Well, we can have a lot of fun with that one too. I'll talk to Brad about that. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you. And everybody have a great week, and we'll see you on the next episode of Jamming with Jason. Bye-bye. And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening. The fact that you listened to this entire episode means you got value and others will too. Do me a favor and leave a 5-star review with comments, and then share with others. You can also check out all of my videos on my YouTube channel and my website, jasonmefford.com. This podcast is primarily for education and commentary and does not represent professional advice.
Views and opinions expressed on this show are that of the individuals and not of their respective organizations.